It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Star attraction, the one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Hey everyone! Oh my god, welcome to Kill Me Now. It's a very special episode of Kill Me Now because we found Hennessy.
Hey!
Yeah, we found Hennessy. I don't know what the fuck happened. We're gonna have to discuss that.
Okay.
And hopefully the transition is beginning. Is that correct?
Yes.
Good, because I can't deal with this bullshit.
I understand.
I am so excited.
Me too.
Well, first of all, I have so much to tell you. And second of all, our guest is fucking A, hilarious, and B, grew up in the next town over from me.
Yeah.
Oh, I keep forgetting that.
Yes, yes, he does. He keeps forgetting that. Because we all want to forget where we grew up, don't we? Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Dave Jesko!
Hello!
Hey!
Thank you for
Hi,
having
Dave.
Me. Hello.
Thank you for, I mean, you know, I was late. I'm going to say I was late.
Judy, I've been listening to your podcast. Seems like you're late every week.
I smacked him for that earlier. And
you know,
I don't know why.
Have been on time the past couple of months. And then this morning, I was at a Tuesday, Friday spot.
I understand.
And I had to get up and move the fucking car.
I went to prison for that.
For what? Ooh.
Leaving my car there, I changed my license plate with a piece of Play-Doh. They
no way.
Found out. I swear to God,
oh
yeah.
You went to prison?
Just for a couple days.
Like what prison?
The Tombs downtown.
Wait, was it bad? Did you have anal?
No, I was like, are you kidding? I was like the Bernie Madoff of the cell. They were all asking me how I can help them out.
No
I was
way.
Like the by 6 o'clock, I was the senior tenant of the cell. So
okay, wait a minute. So you're
what
in
could
a
you
cell?
Make with Play-Doh?
I just changed a 9 to an 8, and for a year it worked like a charm until the guy who had that number from Jersey came to town and found the car, because he kept calling. He goes, it's not my, I don't park my car there. And it was always parked in the same place.
Right.
So he found it and, you know, did his own detective
so
work.
So were there a lot of tickets on the car? Is that there?
Yeah, I had, yeah, probably like 30. I mean, I kept taking them off every day and then ripping them up.
So how no much money? How much me. Money in tickets?
Well, I guess maybe a couple grand, maybe a 1500
okay,
bucks.
Okay, and there was no guilt?
No, not at all.
Really?
Why would I feel guilt? What
like, you didn't
I didn't
feel
know
bad
the
for
guy.
The guy?
It never occurred to me a guy had the number I made up. It never occurred to me until it happened. That's how criminals get
did
caught.
You, did
that
you,
never occurred to me. It was a brilliant plan
did
until
you
the one
ever,
flaw.
Did you ever talk to the guy?
No. In fact, I was going to egg his house, but I felt it was...
Why? You fucking screwed him up!
Yeah, but he wanted to push it to the limit. I could have gotten out with a warning if he hadn't been a dick.
Wouldn't you... All right, put yourself in his position.
Yeah, I don't care. He was,
was
I found
Jewish?
Out who he was.
Was he Jewish?
I don't know. Okay. I just know he was in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Oh, yes, definitely. Jewish. Ding, ding. David Jeskow's Jewish as well.
What? I don't tell people. So, no.
Oh, really?
No, of course I do. I can't not tell people.
I know. Hello. Yeah. Look at you.
Well, I had my nose done.
I know. I can tell.
You can't?
Yeah,
nobody
do the
can
side.
Tell.
Yes, I can tell. You know why? Because I'm your generation, and I know the nose jobs of that generation.
I got it done in New Brunswick.
Yeah, and I went to Rutgers. So there you go.
Wow.
Did you get Roger Wood?
No, I got Alvin... oh, yeah, I think we did do it at Robert Wood Johnson.
Robert Wood Johnson.
Dr. Alvin
not
Glassgold.
Jewish.
Are you serious?
Glassgold. Yeah. good job.
Yeah, he did a great job. And the reason I had it done, I was on the Morton Downey Jr. show. Do you
uh-huh.
remember that? The 80s?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And my grandmother called and I said, what'd you think of the show? She goes, we have some money put aside.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and that's
shit.
What it just automatically, just like your nose, it's
you
horrible.
Know what's interesting? I don't come from a family of, you know, who care, you know, the nose or the face or the. And Elisa, my girlfriend, Her mother, she was depressed at a young, you know, when she was, I don't know, she was a teenager, whatever. Maybe 18, 19. Her mother's like, get a nose job. And that'll, you know, that's going to make you feel better. So they're all rhinoplasty. All three girls and the mother have nose jobs.
Me, my sister, and my mother all have nose jobs. The three of us.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
Did you hate your nose?
No, not until they mentioned it. Then I couldn't stop thinking about it.
Oh, God. I love my nose. And, it's huge, I got and a I don't chin fucking too. Care.
It's
you
cute.
Got a chin done?
He told me.
Let me
like,
see.
It's not that you're,
let me see.
He put a chin in. He said it's not that
you had
you're,
no chin like Steve Middleman?
I guess. When I look at the pictures, it looked like I have a chin.
Steve
but,
Middleman. Sorry.
So what is your chin?
He put it's an implant.
Yeah, like I know right people here. Have done that.
Me too.
The guy was
too.
Like, it's not that your nose is big. I'll take a little off, but you don't have a chin, so I'll give you a chin. And
oh,
look
the chin
like
was affecting the nose.
Apparently.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
So glad I have good genes and a huge nose.
Did you never feel pressure to have your nose done?
No, I never.
Because Hemda never got hers done either, my wife, but she always felt the pressure around her, like all the kids, all of her
well,
friends.
Well, that was like you have your bat mitzvah, then when you're 16, you get a nose
right.
job.
They're all 16.
Yeah. And then boom. But wow. I didn't come from a family like that. So we didn't, it was like not even a fucking
what
consideration.
What is that even from?
But where did you actually, what was the city you grew up in?
I grew up in Clark,
New
Clark. Jersey.
Well,
yeah.
Well, how did you not have a family like that? That's the
because
ultimate.
My parents
how's
were,
the bell not ringing with Clark?
Yeah, Clark. Well, my parents were older. So, you know, my father was born in 1916 and my mother was born in 1922 and my grandmother was born in 1896. So those were, that was my family.
Wow.
And none of that was ever, it was like stupid. It's like, you don't do that, you know?
Yeah.
Good.
You know, and you don't waste money on, you know,
yeah,
and
they
my
were
mother
just
was like
a,
when Barbra Streisand gets a nose job.
Well, she was, didn't want it to affect her voice.
Yeah. Whatever. So, David, I have found out some very interesting facts about you. Now, I've known you for a long time, and
I
feel like...
Mid-90s, probably.
Yeah, and you're, like, there's a little bit of me, you know, you're in a little clicky. You're in the cool crowd.
Yeah, I guess
so. Don't you think so?
Yeah.
And I
have, which is weird, because I'm not... Really
I know you're so
crowd,
you have a chin implant and a nose job.
That's why he's
so
in the crowd.
And so, like... I don't know what crowd am I in. I'd like to know what crowd I'm in.
You're in the legend crowd.
Yeah, that's true.
You're in the living.
It is?
I'm gonna go with that.
No way.
Yeah, you're kind of a living legend.
Yeah,
I am.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would even dispute that for a second.
I don't either.
Really?
Yeah, I really don't want to admit that, but yes.
Oh, you fucking are
in so much
trouble.
You know
were,
I
you
love
almost,
you.
You were that way the day I met you. You were already like kind of legendary status.
Yeah.
Really?
I've always said that.
No, I don't think so. Anyway, but it's like I never got in the...
Also pioneer.
Oh, right? Thank you.
Pioneer status.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
She
but
was
I
like
mean,
one of the first out people in
oh, that's
out
so
media.
True. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Okay. But here's the deal.
You want me to beat
I didn't,
him up?
I just...
I'll beat you up.
Now you just told me. I didn't even know she was out.
What are you talking about?
No
you didn't
idea.
Know I was out. All right, shut the fuck up. But it's
I really
like,
didn't know. You know, when I first met you, I had no idea.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You were so pretty, I couldn't take my eyes off you.
Listen.
But seriously, I didn't know. I did not know. I don't know why.
I didn't hide it.
Yeah.
I mean, I never talked about it on stage till I had kids, but...
But you were never
well,
in
I kind of did. But I was never like...
I don't know why. I just never thought about
because
it.
Because I
never realized.
Wanted to be a gay... I didn't want to be like, lesbian comic, Judy Young!
Well,
you know?
Back then, though, how could you even... You know, that wouldn't have even been accepted probably, right?
Well, you know, that we had Bob Smith and we had...
Yeah, and Bob Smith was in Three Funny Gay Males, you know, so he was just, that's all he was doing.
Right,
I mean,
right.
He hit it out of the park, but...
Right, and he did an HBO special and everything, you know, so he was...
But he was still started with the Three Funny Gay Males.
No, he started alone.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
And that was Jaffe and Danny Williams?
Jaffe Cohen and Janny McWilliams.
Danny McWilliams.
And Jaffe Cohen and Michael Zamm created... Feud. So in my house in Provincetown.
That's
okay.
So great.
So they've been, you know.
No way, really?
Yeah, because Michael Zamm and Bob are boyfriends. And so they would go to my, you know, I have a house in Provincetown. And I went through a bad financial crisis. And then Bob bought half of it. And now Bob, unfortunately, has ALS. And you
oh,
know,
he has ALS. I knew something
terrible.
Was wrong.
Yes,
I didn't know what
bad.
It was.
And, but anyway, Michael used to, and Bob and Jaffe and, you know, would go up there, and Michael and Jaffe wrote Feud.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool.
Right. Now Bob's in a bed, okay, with a feeding tube, and he can't breathe on his own.
They were great.
Fuck you, Donald Trump.
Pioneer status, Bob Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, definitely.
And so funny. All right. So anyway, so I started in the 80s.
Yeah.
You came about in the early 90s.
Actually, I started in the 80s. I started in 83.
Where?
At Pips.
Oh, wow. Yeah. In Brooklyn,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But I was still in college. So then when I would get out, I would.
Where did you go to college?
Ithaca College.
Oh, very nice. I went to Rutgers.
Well, I also went to Rutgers in the summers.
Yeah, because you were from New Brunswick.
Exactly.
Now, what street did you grow up on in New Brunswick?
Well, it was Edison.
Right. Okay. Fuck you. Now, sorry. You as I don't know if I've told you this, my father died in Edison because he was at the Clark Pool.
Oh.
And he was swimming and doing laps, got out, collapsed, boom. So I hate Edison.
Sorry.
Because of the fucking Clark Pool. That my parents used
to make. Wait, what does the Edison have to do with the Clark Pool?
The Clark Pool was in Edison. You know, the Edison and Clark are right. They're like,
yes, I guess near Ashbrook, like
yes!
That swim club.
Yes, okay. Ashbrook. We used to go there.
Right, so did we.
And you did? Maybe
yeah.
We were there together
I'm
as
sure
kids.
We were.
And I was sitting in the corner going, I fucking hate it.
We're about the same age, right?
Well, you're a little younger than me.
Am I?
I'm 54.
I'm 53. We probably were there.
So you grew up.
We probably went to Rutgers together, too.
Yeah, and you made out once. You didn't even know it. This is your life.
I would know that.
Oh, that's true.
Well, you used to. Have you been with that guy before, though, right? Before, no?
Yes. This is something we've talked about. I'm having a hot flash right now. But
you're too young to
people,
have a hot flash.
Oh, honey. Gay people of my generation, there's, you know, they have the gold stars, which
yes,
means
my
that,
friend Alan is a gold star.
Okay, so he's never been with a woman.
Never been with a woman.
Okay, but they're... There weren't as many gold stars because we were like, wait, I can't be gay. No, mm-hmm. I can't be. So we would try it.
Yes.
I hated it so fucking much. All right. Yes. But I was with a guy and now he's married and he had a really big penis. All right. So
it's funny. It's like you said. Worst. Yeah. Back then you had to give it a try.
Right. Because you were like, no.
It's fascinating.
Even in my generation.
Yeah.
You were.
And now they're all like, oh my God, I tell my parents. They were like, okay. And I'm like, you're welcome, asshole.
Yeah,
anyway.
My friend Alan started that. He's kind of started that Queer Nation and everything.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I always
yeah.
think it's because of him. A lot of it has to do with him become, you know, and that's so kids today can come out
right.
to their parents and they're like, whatever.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It was all of us, I think.
Yeah.
And it's
great.
Also Harvey Milk started that whole.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
it's fascinating, though.
That the only way to get through this is to come out and let everyone
it's
know.
It's funny
your
if
gay.
You don't, you know, people always say nothing has changed, but I that's a huge progression.
What are you
that's
kidding?
20 years, you know,
yeah.
like that.
And that's
you know.
Nothing. Think about 20 years ago. So that was when Henry was born. I was out on stage because I was talking about my kid.
And that was a big deal to be out
and
on stage,
that,
too.
This is
a
before Ellen and Rosie
yes, that's
and
right.
Melissa.
Yeah.
You know.
No, that was huge.
Yeah.
But I did it in safe space. Like, I did it in private. You know what? I couldn't fucking lie to my kids. Anyway.
Yeah, but you come from a generation where you were afraid. It's almost like I was afraid to say I was Jewish on stage. One of the reasons I probably got the nose job, I was afraid to say it.
Well, it's a very assimilating thing.
I was nervous the Holocaust
job.
Was going to happen again.
It
I mean,
is.
You do get nervous about
is.
That.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Say it's not.
So you grew up, and your father's much older than your mother, correct?
No, I think they were about a year apart.
Great notes,
oh,
Hennessy.
Sorry.
Not according to your things.
To what things?
But, no.
I don't know. Hennessy did some. I did some research. Okay. Are they alive?
My dad's dead, but my mom's still alive.
Okay. When did your father die?
I guess about 10 years ago.
What do you mean you guess about?
Well, I just don't care that much. So
really?
See, they
it.
Might
yeah.
be way far apart.
Wait
he
a minute.
Know.
Why don't you care about your father?
No, we didn't care for each other.
Really?
Yeah.
All the time?
All the time.
Since birth?
He didn't care for me.
Why?
So, I don't know. I've gone over this a couple times. Yeah, I guess.
Because that would make the dad jealous. If you're
well, he was jealous. He was jealous. But I don't think, I think my mother, you know, loved me a lot. But that made him a little jealous. But I think he also trying to be a comedian made him very jealous.
Really? Because what did he do for a living?
He sold bras and girdles for Warner's.
Oh, yeah, I remember Warner's and the bras and girdles. And my grandmother used to have a girdle. You know, the kind with the things hanging off?
Yes, I do.
The stocking?
I used to sell them, too. That's why I used to sell them
Warner's.
Macy's. I used to work for his company sometimes.
No way.
Yeah.
So was he funny?
No.
He was just miserable. Was he an immigrant?
No, not at all. No, he was a strange dude.
Where did he grow up?
In Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
His father was an FBI agent.
No way.
Yeah.
Jewish?
Oh,
FBI
yeah.
agent?
Yeah, it was one of the first.
Wow.
The only one. The only one.
Wow. Ever.
Fascinating story. He was very smart. And Hoover came to him and said, can you start up a new division of accountants? When they busted the guy for tax fraud, you know, the Al Capone.
Yeah.
They're like,
okay.
let's keep doing this with other guys.
Right.
So he started up this new, they got rid of, it's a fascinating story. They got rid of the FBI because it was all corrupt.
Right.
So he started, let's just get these guys, like a Jewish guy who's polite and nice, and he'll start up this division.
Right.
And there's an amazing picture of my grandfather and a bunch of nerds, you know, in t-shirts and glasses with guns, because they were teaching these nerds how to...
No way.
You know, if you've seen that movie, The Untouchables, kind of the Charlie Martin Smith character.
Right.
You know, the nerd that was there.
What was your grandfather's name?
Lulu Jeskow.
No way.
Yeah, I swear to God, but they called him Leonard because nobody believed his name was actually
Leonard!
Lulu.
Leonard! L-O-U-L-O-U.
L-U-L-U.
Lulu.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's very odd.
What the fuck kind of name is that?
We have a note from Hoover that says, hey,
no
congratulations
way.
On your second kid. You know, like my Aunt Judy. You know, it's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah,
Is it framed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's
so great.
Really cool.
Yeah. So the thing was, I think my dad was angry because I didn't really respect him at all. And he completely respected his dad. Because what's cooler than that if you're a kid? He's like, Dad,
so
can I polish your gun? You know?
Right.
So his father was really successful, and his son was really successful, and he was like, oh my God, I'm a fucking loser, and basically was angry?
No, I don't even think he thought it was a loser. He had the most confidence I've ever seen in anybody.
Really?
Yeah, it was amazing. And
but there's something behind the anger.
Yeah, there was something, but I don't know what it was. I don't know.
Okay,
my sister and I always look into it, because she didn't care for me either, and...
Is your sister older than you?
No, she's a year and a half younger.
Wow.
And she's got a family and everything. Lives in Scotch Plains.
Oh, very nice. And did your parents stay married your whole life?
Yes.
Yeah, that's very Jewy.
Yeah, no, he loved her.
Really?
Yeah.
Some people just don't want to be parents, I feel, you know?
Well, did Rhoda say anything to him?
That's his mother.
Rhoda. No, she just was the housewife and that was it. And now she's a completely different person and we hate her.
What?
Because she's selfish and rude and not nice.
Like what?
The whole community doesn't care for her.
No way.
Yeah, but she doesn't believe us. We asked her to be polite.
She just turned into a cunty?
Yeah.
How?
I don't know. Maybe she was that way before she met my dad. I don't know what happened. She's very rude and
disrespectful. Give me an example. I'll be
She has this really nice boyfriend who we all like.
All right,
she's
I'll
just
be the boyfriend. Okay.
Well, like she won't go visit him in the hospital or anything like that.
Rhoda, I'm not feeling well. I'm in the hospital. Can you come visit me?
No.
Rhoda.
No, I'm not doing that again. I'm not doing that anymore.
I'm not well, and
I'm
I
not
need
doing,
to see
no.
you. Well, what are you
have
doing?
Have your kids
you
go
can't...
visit you. Yeah, there's no other explanation. We don't know. My sister and I went to go visit him because he's so nice.
Is he Jewish?
Yeah. Though she made it very clear. She's, you know, when my dad died, she's like, she told us, she's like, do you mind if I start dating? And we're like, are you kidding? Because I wanted this guy to adopt me. I was going to be David Pressler. she was like, well, he has to be older and he has to be Jewish. We're like,
and
I
rich.
Love your term.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't rich enough. That's why I don't think she cares for him. She's a bitch.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's not good when you don't like your parents.
No, it's not fun. Yeah, I wish I don't.
Okay, so you hate your parents.
That's okay.
And then you love your sister.
Yes, very much.
Beth,
so.
Her name
close.
Is?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And do you have nieces and nephews?
I do. One of them's in Rutgers.
A boy or a girl?
A girl. And the other girl just went to UMass this week.
Oh, very nice. Amherst.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrific. Ben's going to Amherst to play basketball on Sunday.
Oh, yeah? No
oh,
way.
Yeah. Yeah, because they...
Which college does he go to?
He goes to high school, but he's getting he's getting recruited for basketball, so they
he's
call
really tall?
Him. He's 6'6", and he's 16. Okay.
Wow.
But wait till I tell you what happened. Okay?
Is this the story?
I'll get to the story. I'm going to get to the story at some point, but I'm fascinated by you.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So, all right. So you grow up. You normal? Like, were you popular? Like, were you...
I was definitely popular.
You were?
Yes, but I wasn't cool. I was popular, but I wasn't cool.
Okay. You know? But you were in a certain group, or everyone loved Dave Jeskow?
You know, it's just like it is now. It's like a 50-50. People either really love me or right. they really dislike
Who
me.
Who dislikes you?
Oh, my God. You know, I got a regular job. The HR woman yeah. at the Christmas party tried to kill me because she hated me so
why?
Much.
Why?
People, I apparently get under people's skin. I don't know why. I'm annoying. Huh. I got
but
under this woman's skin
you,
so
all right,
much.
So you
she
got
just
a regular
it.
Job. And why did you get a regular job? This is another fascinating part of you.
Well, I just always never really wanted to be a comic.
Right.
So, but I like doing comedy.
Right.
Just not stand-up comedy.
Right.
And stand-up comedy is a complete way to get other things.
Right.
Which I've always wanted. So technically, if you look at it, I guess I'm just kind of an actor, just like everybody else. And
right.
Can't get work, so I had to get a regular
right.
job.
Right. A lot of people do stand-up. As a vehicle.
Oh, my God. In the 90s. Think about it. It was ridiculous. I used to tell actors all the time. I'm like, if you just come up with 5 minutes of stand-up, you'll be seen by more people,
right,
more managers
right.
and agents that you would in a six-month run of a show.
Do you know how annoying for people like me who just wanted to be stand-up comics?
Yeah.
That it was so annoying that these fucking guys would be like, hey, I live in an apartment, and my neighbor has a dog, and the dog can talk, and blah, 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 blah.
It was horrible.
And then they would get a development deal,
a development
and I'm like, can
deal.
I try out my new job?
Yeah.
It was so annoying.
I guess technically I was trying one of those people because
right.
I really, I mean, I.
Yeah, but you're now honest with yourself. So you got, do
I was
you hate
honest
your
back
job?
Then. Everybody
do you hate your job,
care.
Job?
No, not at all. I actually like it a lot.
What is it?
I work at a law firm. I do filings for the SEC.
Oh, that's cool. My sister does
it's
filing
weird.
Too.
Oh, she does?
Yeah, for an insurance company.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, I don't hate, I have it like, I mean, I got it down to a science. I've been there 17 years now.
Wow, and you have health insurance?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I got the whole thing.
You
and
know
my
what?
Hours are like, very flexible. Like, you know, I don't work until like 2 o'clock today.
Right.
So
till when?
Till 9 o'clock. But just Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Fridays, I work 10 to 6, like regular people hours.
That's so
and
great.
And I really have nothing to do. They only really need me 4 times a year, so I work on personal stuff.
That's fucking great.
I gotta write
and
those
you
scripts,
know what?
You know?
And I'm gonna say that, you know, I feel that I've always told young comics this too. Taking care of yourself financially. And instead of being like, oh, I can't get rid of is so important, and it doesn't take away from your art.
Well,
like a lot of people think if they do something else, they're taking away from their art. They're actually taking care of themselves.
Yeah,
like,
but you can really look at that two ways. It's very easy to get stuck, and maybe that's
okay.
what happened to me too.
Okay, but I remember when I started, I was a typesetter, so I could have health insurance. I did other jobs. I do other things.
It's sometimes you just become unmotivated. You know,
right.
it's very, I mean, you have to really have the passion.
Yeah.
And it's so many times I'd like to try and get other stuff together.
Right.
And then you come home from work and I don't do anything at work. And I'm like, but I worked all day. You
right,
know,
right,
you
right.
Totally
it's
tell yourself.
It's like when you do a movie and you're sitting in the trailer all day, it's fucking exhausting.
It is. Uh-huh. It's
because you have
exhausting.
To be, you know, you have to be ready whenever they knock on the door. So you're there hours. And then you have to, you know.
Yeah, your body is still up.
Right,
your mind
like,
is still
yeah,
going.
When are they
going
to call me? When are they, you know.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
It's one of those things you don't realize. You know, people always think it's like, oh, that's so easy. But it really
right.
is difficult to just be on as soon as you're
right.
ready, you know.
Right,
so,
and have the right thing memorized and the right blocking, like ready to go.
That's
when
the stuff that scares
ready.
Me the most, like memorization.
Oh,
kind of
God.
It bothers me. And then movement while you're talking.
That's that helps you memorize, and when you know you have to. All right, listen. Yeah. So you were you in any clubs in high school or anything?
No, I just wanted to be in the plays. You know, that's all I really wanted to be in.
But you were a straight guy in the plays.
Yes, it was
okay.
very difficult. Ooh. Because there were a lot of gay guys
right.
that I just didn't understand. You know, they were already like practicing.
Right.
You know, and it was very confusing because
right.
the ABC After School Special tells you about the one kid who's afraid to come out. Meanwhile,
right,
all
right,
these guys
right.
were out. And it's kind of fascinating. In fact, there was this one kid who apparently was the bad term, but the gold star of all the guys wanted
right.
this one kid.
Right.
And he ended up marrying this girl for 20 years.
And
then
left
recently
her
at this bar mitzvah. Yeah, sorry.
Sorry. I'm getting
waiting.
Cues now from Dave. Yeah,
that was great.
Yeah.
And the thing is, this girl goes, oh, we got divorced. And I'm like, why? I'm like laughing because
yeah.
I'm pretending. She had no idea. She had
are
no
you fucking kidding
we
me?
We don't know how he was maybe
did
the
they
gayest
have kids?
Person. They got 3 kids, which makes me so
how
upset.
How does he get it up?
I don't know. That's what
like,
drives me crazy.
How do you
I have
get
trouble
it up?
Getting it up with a girl now. It's like so complicated.
I don't understand. I couldn't.
It gets
even
worse
then,
than
I couldn't get any
witness. She told me, she, like, when they go, she goes, it turns out he's gay. And I just start laughing. And then
I
couldn't help myself. I was like, ridiculous. She goes, yeah. And then he said it was my fault.
No.
And then I went to my mom.
What do you mean it's your fault?
He was blaming her.
Fuck.
And he goes, it's my, and then she goes to her mom. This is only like 5 years ago. She goes to her mom, like, he says it's my fault. She goes, it is your fault.
What?
You need to go to Victoria's Secrets and pick out stuff. Like,
no way.
I don't know how they couldn't know this guy was gay. It was so obvious.
But
it was ridiculous.
I'm going to call him.
My parents told me to go tell her because I knew
for
sure.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I was like, I don't. Maybe it's none of my concern. Maybe she knows. Maybe it's a sham thing.
Could help her by saying, you know what, we all knew in high school, don't fuck.
Well, that's what I told her. She goes, how did you know? And then she talks about this other guy who was just pretty much completely out. She goes, right. Oh, do you remember this guy, Gary Schwartz? And I just started laughing. And I was like, of course he did. You know, I mean, it just makes
so
much
sense. I don't understand how people don't realize. Because they don't want to know. Stop picking.
Okay. Wait, what if he is bisexual?
No, he was not
bisexual in any way.
No.
But I mean, how do you get hard and have three kids? I mean, I can't get wet.
Ooh, I can't get wet. I mean, if I'm with a guy. Ugh. All right, listen. You went to Ithaca. What did you major in?
Well, my grades and SATs were very bad. So
What'd you get?
On my SATs, I got an 800.
Wow, mine was pretty bad, too. I got like 1,000. I can't take tests.
Yeah, I'm bad at it, too. Yeah. And my grades were really bad, too. So they put me in the exploratory program. But all I wanted to do was be in the TV program.
Like Dora the Exploratory program? Yeah, so you
blink,
took...
Blink.
Yeah. I really wanted to be a theater major, but I didn't like the clickiness and probably the gayness of it, if I can be honest.
Right.
I really just wanted to be an actor. That's all I wanted to be.
So what did you end up studying?
I went to become a teacher, and then I got kicked out of the teaching program.
Why? For being
anti-Semitism.
No way.
I swear to God.
What happened?
I don't know. This woman was there, and then her husband started grading my papers, whatever, and he put in this stuff about the Holocaust.
No
it was
way.
Weird. Like, out of nowhere, he goes, maybe by this you mean the 6 million Jews. And I'm like, why would you bring that up? This is a story about Pez.
Wait, he wasn't Jewish.
No, they weren't Jewish at all. I really do believe.
But did you ever?
I mean, as much as we like to.
I've experienced anti-Semitism.
No, there was a lot of anti-Semitism up there, too.
When I go back in my life and realize, oh, that was anti-Semitism.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, especially in high school, too.
Yes, yes.
Well, in junior high,
in junior high,
it was very anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
Because we were the rich Jews, I guess, from Edison, and then this other section of town. It was bad. And we know it was from the parents, right?
Yeah.
And then when we went to high school, it was all mostly Jewish, but all of a sudden we were the poor Jews, so we were just treated like crap anyway. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I had a not Jewish and Italian side of town, and then the German Polish side of town.
Yeah.
And we had we moved in 1968 to our house. There was, you know, swastikas. They were stuck.
Yeah, they would throw pennies, and if we picked them up, they burned crosses.
And then they one time I was in synagogue, and they started shooting.
Oh, we didn't have
it was BB guns, and we had to go. You know, but still, it was scary.
It was terrifying.
And you know, my mother was always like, "They hate us. They all hate us." And I was like, "No, they don't." And now look.
Can I tell you, my dad is a Christian minister, and I grew up in a Christian household, and I grew up thinking Jews were magical.
Well, that's correct.
Because my dad always put a lot of emphasis on how important the Jewish people were and how they're the reason for our faith and how everyone hates us.
Yeah.
They're the chosen ones. They are the lovers of God.
Well, your dad is...
There's something wrong with him.
Nobody ever teaches that.
Yeah.
Even the kindest people are like, well, the Jews are what they are.
No, in his church,
Jared Kushner.
I think he's a lover. He would
Jared
prefer
Kushner's
to be
a genius.
Jewish, I think.
Well, he can convert. Listen.
Yeah.
So
he would be honored, actually.
All right.
I know he would.
That's great.
He'd be like, yes, I'm going to all the classes. This is great.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he hasn't done it.
He just likes religion, I think, in general.
He really does. Yeah. But he loves the Jewish religion.
That's
and he
crazy.
Loves the Jews, and he sees them as his forefathers.
Okay, great.
Wow.
So back to Dave Juskow.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay, so you graduate.
Yes, I graduated. I always graduate on time, but with the lowest grade point average anybody can graduate with.
And then I became a history major.
That's what it was.
What was your grade point average?
2.0, 1.
Nice.
Just
nice,
made it.
Nice.
Every time.
And did your parents come to your graduation?
Yes, but both times it was by the, you know, we didn't think it was going to work out.
I had a parking ticket situation at Rutgers. Oh, and so I got a thing, you're not graduating unless you pay these parking tickets. Oh. And my sister had to come and pay the parking tickets. And she still, to this day, has to fucking bring up how she had to come and put, bring the...
But that's the best, though. Yeah. You know, I would do that, too.
But I didn't put Play-Doh on my fucking car. To,
seemed
you know.
Like a great idea at the time.
That's hilarious.
But that's okay. With the college thing, the reason I was able to graduate, though, it's, you know, the beauty about college was that you could talk your way. It's kind of like the movie Clueless.
Right.
You could argue your way
right.
from a C+ to an A-.
Right.
Wow. I keep telling my
you can advocate
nieces
for
that,
yourself.
And they just
yes.
don't pay attention.
Yeah. Okay, so after you graduate, what do you end up doing for work?
Well, I was doing the stand-up comedy before, right, but for work, I started temping.
You started temping?
Yeah, to make money, but I was definitely doing
stand-up. Where was your first
stand-up
gig?
It was at Pips.
Yeah, and what year was that?
83.
83, wow. See, I started 82, 83, but at Rutgers, and then I would go to, like... the Ambler Cabaret and Ambler Pencil. I mean, I remember these gigs. I wasn't even old enough to drink, and I would go.
You know, all through college, I was, you know, working at Pips in the summers and the right. Christmas time and stuff. And then I remember the first time I got there, you know how I got in? And it's the weirdest, because this could never happen today.
Right.
The owner of Pips was on the Letterman show. You know, he had him on as the last guest on like one
Why?
Day.
Why?
Because
like
he,
the late,
you know,
late,
the late
show?
Yeah, the one that was at 1:30 in the morning,
yeah. That was such a good show.
It was the best. And he had the owner of Pips on. He goes, yeah, we got an open mic night. Come down Wednesday. You fill out the form. We put you on. And he said that. So the next Wednesday, I went there, and I thought there would be a huge line. Nobody
right.
was there.
Oh.
I don't understand how you can announce it on the
right,
Letterman
right,
show, especially
right.
back
no
then.
Shows
no one showed up. I was the only one. I was wearing a tie, and I
right.
had my comedy outfit.
Uh-huh.
And I go to the bartender. I'm like, yeah, I'm here for the open mic night. He goes, go see the colored guy in the back.
No way.
Yeah, this guy, Jezzy Kitten. I remember because he'd always say, I'm Jez Kitten.
That's so funny. Oh, my God. Stop. My stomach. All right.
And
so.
Those guys were all, they were the, that's the part I remember the most. They were all Italian. And
yeah.
they were the most funniest guys without really being funny at all.
Right.
And they would have, all their friends were there. So they'd kill. They'd be like, folks, let me ask you a question. Don't raw eggs smell like farts? And the people are dying
laughing. Yeah.
There's a guy that had an act on a book of matches all the time. He goes like, what's with this Superman? He puts on a pair of glasses. What's going on? People are dying.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm doing everything wrong.
Right. I remember those. In the 80s, a lot of the mobsters would come to comedy clubs
yeah.
and hang out late at night
oh,
with
they
their
thought
mistresses.
It was the funniest
yeah.
thing, yeah.
And when I went on a catch really late, there would always be like,
that's I probably
great.
Saw
this
you a couple of times. I started
this
going
is my
there.
Girlfriend. This is my girlfriend.
Well, then I used to go to catch late,
yeah.
you know, and just hang out, wait to go
yeah.
on. Like in 87,
yeah,
88.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I met Attell.
Yeah.
About 87, 88.
You know, I was there when Attell went on stage for the first time.
Where was that?
Comedy U Grand at 55 Grand
yes,
Street.
Yes, of course.
Soho.
No, I went there many times.
So I was emceeing.
That owner is
yeah.
still around. His
Paul.
Son. His son.
Is it Paul or remember who was the other one? We think he disappeared.
Yeah, there one
was,
disappeared, but one his son is still around because he keeps asking me if I have pictures or something from then. And I was like, you know, your dad wasn't that nice to me.
But it was so. Paul. Wait, it was you know, Paul and who? What the fuck?
I don't remember.
Bert and Paul.
I don't
remember.
You
call
must have
up
been Paul because I would have remembered the name Bert.
And Paul was like into porn and stuff. Yeah, but I remember because when you called the club, it would be like, "Welcome to Comedy Grand at 55 Grand Street in Soho." Blah 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 blah. And I remember when Ray would come in, Romano, mm-hmm. He was delivering futons, and his wife would complain at the bar. Oh, I don't know why he's doing this. He's never going to make any money.
Oh boy!
And
how
then,
is he still married?
Yeah, and then. There was, I remember, Attell came in. He was a student at NYU.
Yeah. So you met him before I did
that. This job. I
met him
before
after
about how he said something about the girls being, he had one joke where he's like, girls are so skinny now. Everyone has anorexia. I walked by Macy's and the mannequins had their fingers down their throat. And I was just like, this guy is so fucking funny.
I know.
And he got off stage. He's like, that sucked. I go, oh my God, you were so funny.
And nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. He's still just as funny.
Right.
He could still use a lot of the old jokes that I saw him start with as well. And he still doesn't think any of it's good.
Which is what keeps him being a great comic. Because a lot of people get success.
Well, sometimes it's out of control.
And think they're great. Yeah.
I mean, once in a while, he can think he's great. You know, I mean, it's really annoying. Or we're best friends.
Right.
And so when I, you know, sometimes he's very mean. And so the way to get back at him is just I do his old material. It drives him crazy.
Right. Oh, that's hilarious. So you met Attell.
Probably at that. Well, at Pips, but I didn't realize it was him. I met him through another friend, Mike Royce, who we went to college
with. I remember.
Together.
I know Mike Royce.
You do.
How is he?
He's great.
Yeah,
he
did Men of a Certain Age.
That's right.
And he did, whatchamacallit, Everybody Loves Raymond.
That's right. And now he's working on the One Day at a Time remake, the Spanish version.
And he was always really nice, and I watched his hair completely fall out of his head.
Yeah.
Is he like Mr. Christian or something?
No, not at all. He's just a strange dude who it was so odd. Like, I had friends from school, they're like, am I to understand Mike Royce is doing comedy?
Yeah.
But he was very smart.
Yeah.
So even though he wasn't, like, it shouldn't have been a good comic, his writing was so good.
Right, and there were so many
comics. I set him up. I introduced him to Ray for the first time.
Wow. You did. But I remember him. There were a bunch of guys like that who were great writers and not great performers and ended up being major executive producers and writers and showrunners. And it's so fucking annoying. Anyway, so.
It is annoying.
Are you in touch with Mike Royce?
Yes, very much so.
Oh, tell him I said hi.
I will. I do run this football pool and he's been in it for years, but we're still close. You know, I mean.
What about Tom Contalbiano?
Actually, I just saw him about a month ago. We hadn't seen each other in a long time and we had a really nice time together.
Yeah, because he's in that little group. Kevin James.
Him I don't know at all. I only knew him from Long Island. Me and Attell used to go to that East Side Comedy
sometimes.
Yes,
I used to go. Richie Minervini's. So, do you think Kevin James would be where he is without Ray Romano?
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, I know.
No.
It's just unbelievable. I need someone to do that for me.
Well, that's why I think we hit the wrong friend.
Right.
Like, I'm friends with Attell and Sarah.
Right.
And I think that was a big mistake. Like, Rachel's friends with Amy. That was the way to go. I'm friends with the laziest two people of comedy that only just do their job and they don't do anything else. They don't want to produce anybody else's shows.
Right.
Yeah, I picked the wrong people.
So
I should have befriended Ray a lot better, even though I told him not to talk about his family on stage.
You did not.
I did. I do this a lot. I told Chelsea Handler she wasn't going to make it in comedy. I've known her since she was 12.
No way.
She came to me. She got 22. She goes, Jessica, how can I get into comedy? I'm like, kid, let me explain
something.
I don't know. She's already. I mean, all the people that I said that to, like Gaffigan and people like that, they've worked it out and they've realized they've won. So they did hate
me
for a long time.
Can you tell me something now? So maybe
I know everybody wants me to tell them, but I always liked you and I always thought you were talented.
Fuck,
sorry.
Shit. Fuck. Okay, so.
Sorry. He's like, I don't know why I get under people's skin.
I know, right?
I don't know. I just want that. I told the Blue Man Group they were the biggest idiots I'd ever met in my life.
Can I tell you about the Blue Man Group?
But you got to give me that one.
I think I can beat that. So my ex, Sharon, was really good friends with one of the creators of the Blue Man Group. The Jewish one. What's his name?
I don't know. I was friends with that
Jew
guy,
man.
Chris something.
Okay.
Blue?
So they were really good friends. And he called her and said, listen, we're going to dress up like in blue and we're going to bury all these artifacts from the 80s and then we're going to do like, and we're going to, you know, make the, I don't know, drum and whatever the fuck. And Sharon was like, ugh, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Who wouldn't have said that? They were showing me pictures. I'm like, you guys are idiots.
Yeah, that's exactly. And we were like,
this is like 88.
Yeah. And now fucking billionaires. Okay.
Well, the best part is those guys, they're actually so sweet.
Yeah, they're great.
You know, I told them, because they must have heard that from everybody.
It's the
stupidest idea I've ever heard in my life.
Right.
And I made fun of them and I left the house. I think I gave them the finger. And like, you guys are like, I was like really adamant. And then when it kind of started becoming popular, I remember I took Sarah on a date. Those are my friends. They're my friends. You know, these guys are okay. And they brought me down to the basement. They're like, help us. Help us. Like, talking to the tubes, like to the audience. And they're like, I'm like, I know. I told them they were going to be big. I totally just.
You're such an asshole.
I know. But they were so kind about it. I think they were just. They got it. Like, they were just knew that this is the way people were. But I'm like that with everybody. I told this guy he's going to be big.
Yeah. Now, you met Attell, and then when did you meet Sarah?
Probably 2 years, 3 years yeah. later.
And
at the Boston Club?
Yeah, the Boston Comedy Club. I used to go there all the time.
Yeah.
And
just became really fast friends. Like, yeah. really.
I loved Sarah. You know why? I mean, there were many reasons, because I thought she was funny. We coached a basketball.
Yeah.
Her, like Henriette, and myself.
Oh, right.
Coached this kid's basketball team in LA at the Y.
That I but, would join basketball.
So, right? Who would? But this yeah. is why amazing. I love Sarah. One of the reasons is there. Do you remember Carol Henry?
Yeah.
Comic.
Yes, yeah.
And she was a really good friend of mine. We were like BFFs. And she died of AIDS.
Oh, okay. That's why
and
I haven't
I'll
seen
never,
her around.
Yeah.
She's where'd dead. She go?
And I remember at her funeral, I just remember like who showed up.
Did she used and to Sarah, work at Catch a Rising Star?
Yeah, maybe? Yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay. Remember I remember,
she had,
yes.
And she was really funny. And she's like, you know, I work in an office and every day the
I
boss
do
comes
remember,
over
yeah.
and says, to me, hey, working hard or hardly working? Working hard or hardly working? Working hard or hard? And then one day I went up to him and I said, I fucked it up. Oh. And he's, you know, one day he came over, he said, working hard or hardly working? And I got up and I grabbed his neck and I said, breathing hard or broadly breathing? All right, I fucked it up.
I totally
sorry, Carol.
Remember her now that you
yeah,
mentioned
she was
it.
So fucking funny. Yeah. Anyway.
That's great.
So I've always liked Sarah. So Attell and Sarah dated.
Yes.
Now, was that before you dated? Did you date Sarah?
No, we went out on a couple of dates, but it just was, we were just friends. That's
yeah, but
was.
You were like dying to fuck her, right?
It's
like every comic
strange,
wanted
dude.
To.
I guess I don't know. You know, it's weird because when I think of it now, it's like there were definitely opportunities. I suppose I was
right.
just I don't know something. We were just supposed to be brother and sister.
Right.
You know, I don't know.
So
hard to explain.
So.
That was good. A good way of explaining it, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I slept with her roommate and other people.
Who was her roommate?
I don't know. She had a couple of roommates.
Oh, that's great.
So some girl, this girl who was like a theater person at NYU,
right.
and then she wrote a play about me. Where
what
I
was
went,
the name of the play?
It was called H-E Double Hockey Sticks. It was horrible.
Oh, that
she
sounds like
great.
She told
me the play was about me. I went to see. This was only a couple of years ago, like
yeah.
maybe even 5 or 7 years
yeah.
ago. I went to see it. And the guy playing me, she told me it was about me and the bar I hang out. And the guy playing me was a flaming queen.
No, that's yeah. great.
He's like, hey, did everybody, don't you hate the Mets? Like,
did he have a nose job?
I don't know, but they put gray in his hair.
Oh, that's nice.
I colored mine yesterday.
Oh,
so
nice. It looks good.
Yeah, they put powder in his hair. Like it was. He would follow me around the weeks
right.
before. I thought it was a joke until I saw it. And I'm like, that's not, I don't do that.
uh-huh. So, okay, the Dave Attell Sarah Silverman love affair.
It was a nightmare for me.
Why?
Because I was in the middle. They were two of my best friends, and Attell was a jackass.
Why?
There's no other way to put it. He just, I mean, we could have salvaged everything. They could have
right.
had this great love for years,
right.
but he's crazy.
What happened?
You know, I can tell you exactly what happened. He would never want to belong to a club that would have him as a member.
Right.
Could not believe Sarah liked him the way she did.
Right.
Couldn't understand it.
Mm.
And there it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he self-sabotaged the relationship.
That's so horrible.
Sounds like
they
started
would be
sleeping
such
with
a
other people. And then she was, and then so, because she is badass.
Right.
So she's like, well, I'm going to sleep with other people. And he's
right.
like, what?
Right.
You know, so two-faced and, you know, that the woman's not supposed to do that.
Right,
what the
right,
hell's
right.
going on here?
Right, right, right.
But she's cool, you know?
He's an addict. That sounds like pretty addict-y behavior.
Yeah, no, he definitely.
What do you mean he's an addict?
It makes sense what he's saying.
He's an alcoholic.
The way he was like an alcoholic. He wasn't like an. He was able to stop it. The way he smoked
yeah.
cigarettes.
He smoked cigarettes
sure.
like every time.
Even
I mean, many
the comedy that he
are.
Can't like not take off a night and not do comedy. You know,
right.
I mean, that is very addictive.
Right,
yeah.
right, right.
I feel like he would say that.
And
but
he
I
does
told
like
at
he
the
does
time,
spots at 2 a.m.
It's weird.
Wait,
he loves
why?
Doing it. I don't know why.
At
I don't
midnight
know.
Or whatever. And I'm like
12:35, 1 o'clock. Yeah, I always tell people, I'm like, you know, the best thing is like going down on a Tuesday night at
yeah.
the Comedy Cellar, and it's when I hate this city. When I go down to see him perform at 1 o'clock in the morning
right.
on a Tuesday,
right.
it reminds me of why I live here. It's wow. really like seeing like a Lenny Bruce or even like a Bob Dylan in the middle of
right.
the night on a Tuesday. You know, even though we know who he is already,
right.
it's really just like
I just love him.
You're getting to see this show that you're never
right.
going to see anywhere. It's never going to be televised properly. He's never going to come off the way
right.
he does live,
right.
the way he is anything
it's also
else.
Like he's such a little boy deep down inside.
Yes, yes.
You know, he's always like wishes people happy birthdays on like
well,
Twitter.
We're both like that. I think that's
yeah,
why we're still
so
friends.
He's so cute. I love him.
People used to think we were brothers all the time.
Really?
We did,
yeah, because you look so much alike.
We did look alike.
You
kind of
do.
We had like
you
the similar
do.
Hair
Stop
and everything.
Stop fucking kissing his ass.
Oh, sorry.
All right, so.
But because I was friends with him, I used to get more gigs because everybody knew he was kind of a genius.
But that was a good friend to have for that period of time. Okay, so
not anymore.
You're doing stand up, and then you start writing. Like, but you don't have another job at all during this period of time. Is that correct?
No, I'd always had a job, and then I took some years off to just do stand up.
Right,
and I had a cooking show.
Right.
And I had like a couple of things, and I was being managed by Caroline's at the time.
Right, so right, right. How did that go?
It didn't end well.
Right. Have you worked at Caroline's
since then?
Yes.
Yes, but it took 20 years.
Wow.
You know, then everything is forgiven now.
Right, but, right.
It was pretty bad. It was the worst thing that ever happened. It actually turned everything around for the worse. It
really?
It ruined everything.
Like, what happened?
Like, everything was going well, and then they sued me.
For
damn.
What?
Fuck.
I don't know.
For putting a silly putty on your fucking act?
I don't know. They just got very vindictive, and it was bad.
Okay, now you know what it is, but you don't want to talk about it.
No, I don't know what it is. I just wanted to leave the management.
And then they said...
They just got really upset, and I just...
A lot of
it was the Dorfman guy, you know, and...
Rick, yeah, he's my manager.
He is?
Yeah.
Oh, well, good for you.
Yeah. Do you hate Rick?
No, not at all. He's very charming. I love talking to him. I just didn't care for him as a manager.
Really?
All. And I wanted to leave, and they wouldn't let me.
Like, how do you not let someone leave? I know agents that do that, too.
Because she was just, I don't know, I guess they all took it personally, you know?
Right.
Which is funny, because that's the way I usually am, but...
Right.
So it just really just ended things badly, and everybody kind of found out, and then everything just went bad.
Now, let's see, you were on Dr. Katz.
Yeah.
It's coming back.
Yes, I know.
What is that?
No, I'm... You know, it doesn't matter.
No, I want to hear it. You have to tell us.
You know, I love Dr. Katz. I love Jonathan Katz.
Yes, I love him too.
And I like Tom Snyder very much. You know, we were all very close.
Right.
And they put me in all of their projects, and I loved working with them.
Right.
And when they couldn't get their stuff on DVD,
right?
For some reason, I don't know why, I just felt I could help them.
Right.
And I said, I'm going to help you find out what the legal problem is, and I'm going to help you put it on DVD. And I took care of it.
Right.
I don't even know how I did it. I talked to the people at Comedy Central. I talked to Doug Herzog. I got it fixed.
And you worked at a law firm at this time?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And I took care of it, and I got it fixed, and they were able to put it on DVD. Then I got a call from that idiot, Lou Viola, who apparently is the manager of Jonathan Katz, which I didn't know.
Really? Because
you know when people tell you, when they have a lawsuit, the reason people lose is because they don't tell their lawyer everything they need to know. It's like going to the doctor and not being honest.
Right.
So they leave out one bit of piece of information, and then you're going to get screwed.
Right.
So Jonathan Katz leaves out the information that he has this agent, Lou Viola. And Lou Viola comes to me, well, Dave, thank you very much. We don't need your help anymore. I wasn't even trying to get money or anything.
Right.
I just wanted to help my friends.
Right.
And he just called me up and said, we don't need your help anymore. Thanks for everything. And I'm like, well, screw you. You know, like, it was really horrible.
Right.
And he did this thing. And then so it just left a really bad taste in my mouth.
That's terrible.
I still love Jonathan Katz because he's obviously an idiot who didn't, you know, I mean, I know he didn't do it on purpose. It's Lou Viola. That's the problem.
Right.
And I love Tom Snyder. I'll always love those guys, but it just makes me angry, you know, like the whole situation left a really bad taste in my mouth. I even went to their stupid opening when they had the DVD release party at the Gotham. Because, you know, I love those guys, but that was not cool.
I have a better Jonathan Katz story.
What is it?
So he called me several weeks ago to say how, because he had seen me on I'm Dying Up Here on Showtime.
Oh.
And he was like, he just said, I have to tell you, blah, blah. You know, he's really complimentary. And I said, thank you so much. And how are you? And he's come to my one person shows, you know, when I was in Massachusetts and blah, blah, blah. And then I said, you know, because there's certain things in this business that you never forget, right?
Of course.
So I remember that I always thought I would be so great on Dr. Katz because I'm so...
I assume you were on Dr. Katz.
Well, he had me come in and record.
Oh.
And never put me on and never used it.
Why?
I don't know. So I said to him, you know, I said, you know, you never... I'll never forget. You never used me, so I hope you feel guilty. But whatever. But
I'd be upset by that, too.
Yeah. I was recording. It was like... That was like there were certain little things like that I always feel like left out of. You know
of
what
course.
I mean?
Yeah.
Like I haven't done a comedy special in, it's got to be 10 years. It's like, why did these fucking idiots get Netflix specials? You know, I have like 2 hours of material that's never been on television. You know what I mean? I'm out
Maybe
there.
Maybe they're not ready for lesbians.
Let's record it.
I know. I have to record
let's
it.
Let's just fucking book it and record it.
Okay, great.
That's surprising, actually. You're right. Why wouldn't they let you do a Netflix special?
Right. And people write on, you know, on Twitter, like, Netflix, please give Judy Gold. And it's like, now your demographic. Fuck you, my demographic.
But people are still using that term.
Yes. Well,
that's what, you know, they used to do that in the 90s for us. Right. Like, it's not going to work in the Midwest, which was their code for you're Jewish and people hate
it's
the
always,
Jews.
You know, people, and I've talked about this with Susie Essman, that...
Who's a delight.
Oh, I love Susie. And such a good person.
Such a good person. What a great actress.
Oh my God. She's and smart, and I fucking love her.
Unbelievable. 360.
But we talk about it, and it's like, why didn't, you know, we're so prepared, and we're so ready, and we're so funny, and, you know, it's like, it's,
senior
the, it's
one
a Jew
show.
Thing.
That should have been televised.
Yeah. It's
that still can be, too.
Yeah.
Hey. Okay. So, I love that Dr. Katz story, by the way. And do you and what are they doing now with the Dr. Katz?
I don't know what the plan is. I think it's just, you know, Jonathan's a mess, you know.
Yeah,
with
MS.
MS, right. So, I'm not sure what they can do. I think it's...
He still sounds fine, like when you talk to him on the
phone. I think it's just an audio. I don't think it's going to be a cartoon or anything.
Right.
Yeah, he still sounds fine. You know, he's just a little... He's still really funny. He's
always.
His mind.
Yeah.
You know, he's so funny. You know, he... I did a movie about the Cars, you know, the band from the 80s.
Yeah, I love the
and
Cars.
And he plays, you know, we did it like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer with the snowman. He plays the voice of the snowman and tells the story of the Cars. And he sounds so good, you know?
He's great.
Because it's funny because John Benjamin's in it too. So the entire cast of Dr. Katz is in this movie.
That's great. So you do a lot of writing.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
Now I do.
You're also a registered Republican.
That's true.
What is that about? Did you vote for fuckhead?
You know, when you look at the
Are you kidding me?
No,
we still love you.
In the primaries, I obviously voted for him, which I got a lot of. Can you curse on this?
Cunt.
I got a lot of shit for it. People wouldn't even listen to me. I'm like, but it's the primaries. I can only vote for my thing. When I got to the line that day, I was still deciding. I was debating. We vote in the same place on 56th Street, me and Trump, and then he cut online, and so I voted for Hillary. I was really angry.
Really? He cut the line.
He cut the line, and I was furious, because not only did he cut the line, I don't care if he cut the line,
okay,
but then he kept us waiting for an hour, like we weren't even going.
But that shows what kind of fucking asshole person he is.
I guess that's what I figured out. Now, I can't stand that he's the president, but not because of the reasons you do. Now it affects my life because his... son lives across the street from my house, so the Secret Service is taking up all the parking spaces and where I park in the garage.
That's a fucking asshole reason to hate him.
See? And I can't get my car out of the garage, which is right by his place over there. There's always protests all the time.
Right.
This is a nightmare for, you know, a 1%er like myself.
Shut up. But was Hillary the first Democrat you voted for?
No, I voted for... the reason I became a Republican, I mean, Rachel, I don't know whether Rachel's told you, but the reason is because of Michael J. Fox and Family Ties.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding at all.
Because he was in the Young Republicans
at
school.
I loved him. I thought he was the greatest person. I went to college with a briefcase and a tie all the time to be Alex Keaton.
That's really cute, though. Did your bedroom look like an office as a kid?
No, I wanted it to look like that. You know, I had a picture of Reagan on my wall and stuff like that.
Did you vote for Reagan?
Oh, I couldn't wait to vote for Reagan.
Yeah, he was great.
I would have voted for Nixon again if he was around.
Of course.
I was just upset. But I really did like Ronald Reagan, so I didn't have any problems with
him. Yeah, he was
great
for the AIDS.
He was the first president I ever
He was good for the AIDS crisis. He really did a great job.
Regular register. Yeah.
I assume you're making fun.
No, I thought he was. Yeah, he was great for the gays.
Fucking
asshole. But don't you think Trump is the biggest fucking piece of shit?
I go back and forth.
Are you kidding me?
I don't...
He's horrible! He's dumb!
He
is dumb, he's destructive, he's narcissistic, he's mentally ill, he has no fucking clue, he's never worked a fucking... Like, he's never done any public service whatsoever.
You're right in everything you say.
And he surrounds himself by idiots, he makes stupid decisions, he tweets like a fuck... He can't spell. He's a fucking asshole. How can you go back and forth?
I don't know. I just sometimes there's some things I.
Now
you know,
I know why your HR person hates you with that fucking job, you fuck. Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't know. You know, it's just I try. You know, sometimes I.
Look at the condition of the world. We're going to go to war. He's a fucking asshole.
Well, but it's not his fault. You're talking about the North Koreans?
No, it's not his fault at all. Nothing is his fault. Nothing is his fault.
Well, no, except when stuff that is
no, except when the economy is better, the jobs are better. That's because of him. It's not because of Obama. Because in 2 months,
I don't like the way they treat. You know, I thought Obama was really great. I didn't think he was the greatest president, but I think he was really cool. But what really there are some things that really make me angry. The fact that he just keeps blaming Obama makes me insane.
Right.
The
and
fact that nobody gives Obama props for coming up with an insurance plan, for taking a stand, you know, one to somebody make a step towards it, and they just keep blaming and blaming. It drives me crazy. The guy's he did what politicians have been talking about for years. Yeah.
And yet they had all this time to come up with their other thing,
and
they
can't
didn't
do it.
They do
it. It drives me crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
And also DACA. I mean, you're going to test these little kids.
Well,
yeah.
That I'm on the fence about.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, sorry. I don't know. I got problems with. I feel. I don't know. You know. It's just like
your grandparent Lulu was a fucking immigrant,
and they came here legally. They stopped at Ellis Island.
Right,
and they,
but we're talking about the kids. We're talking about the little kids, not the
which
parents.
They should, but the parents should have worked that out ahead of time. This happened to my friend Ron. He got back. He had to go back to France, and he's 45 because his dad messed up some paperwork. You know, like years ago.
And.
Well, he finally, 2 years later, he's able to get back in.
Ron who?
Ron Pledge.
Pledge?
He's my friend.
Hmm. He's French and his name is Pledge?
Yeah.
Well, it's not Pledge.
Maybe it was.
Why is it Ron Pledge? okay, so
man,
I'm excited.
And he went to school here. He went to everything. Just like these kids, I guess, you know. It's
right.
I mean, there's got to be a better way to do it, but I do, you know, I mean, if you're not here legally, is that so bad to...
Not if you came here as a 2-year-old and had no fucking idea.
If you had no choice.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You just, you know, there should be some blame put on the parents.
Right.
To
That's
this.
Fine.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, fine. Great.
I don't want to see the kids have to be deported.
And do you think Trump...
What are they going to do? They don't know any other existence.
He has no heart. He has no heart. He's a horrible person. He is a disgusting piece of crap. Anyway.
I know. I get nervous thinking about that. You know, that makes me... I hate talking about a standing president like that. It bothers me.
I can't believe
like
that I can get up in the morning and tweet at him.
Isn't that fascinating?
It's so,
and he'll tweet you back.
He'll tweet you back.
It's fascinating.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Mostly because you're friends with Rosie.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't tweet me back.
No, but he would.
He
I'm
will
sure.
or he would.
He's
well,
obsessed
Rosie's blocked
with her.
Right. He's obsessed. He's obsessed with Hillary. He's obsessed with the popular vote.
I know, and that's
not cool. He's obsessed with any woman. The way he speaks to women.
That's the other thing, too.
And look at him. You're such a fucking ugly, fat, fucking... fake hair.
Are you talking about me or him? Because I'm getting
confused. And how dare he judge people by the way they
look.
But
that's the other thing, too. There are things I really... Planned Parenthood is one of the greatest organizations ever.
Oh, my God!
And I really thought that if he got to office, because he's a New Yorker, he was going to be okay with climate change.
And because I'm sure he's paid for hundreds of abortions.
Of course. I agree 100%.
I don't think that any of this is what he believes in or not. I think he's just like the Roger Stone guy who helped get him into office. Wherever he is going to win, that's where he's putting his money.
But the other thing is, here's the other thing that's really, you know, look at the world around you. No one in New York voted for him. He lost in his hometown.
Yeah.
That means because we've known him his whole fucking life and he's an asshole.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, thank you all for listening. And as we always say, so long!
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.